to prove you wrong.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Shukri Wright, host of the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Show is starting up in about a couple of minutes. Enjoy the tunes in the meanwhile. Hang tight.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Monday afternoon here in Greater Boston, broadcasting to you live from the WMFO studios here in Medford, as this is officially Judgment Day for Major League Baseball. And frankly, 90% of the show today is going to be a lot of baseball talk. I will sprinkle some Bruins in there, and as well as some Celtic conversation and whatnot, but it will be 90% baseball, because basically the entire sports world, by and large part, is fixated on what will happen regarding the Major League Baseball lockout discussions that is ongoing as we speak right now. I'm here with you until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the program if you want to chip in with your thoughts and takes on what's happening. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. But if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm in no mood for baseball and its shenanigans today. I'm really not, because as I explained last week, and I explained in a radio interview last night that I was on WATD 95.9 FM last night, in which I was asked, if baseball were to be delayed, when do I think the season would start? And frankly, I did not have a very good answer in a sense of, it will start maybe a week later after it's originally have been scheduled for March 31st. No, I was thinking possibly May or June. And to be brutally honest, I'm angry. I'm genuinely very angry with the sport. I'm angry with Major League Baseball because there's a variety of different reasons I can select from and reasons, and I think that is fair, that I'm very angry with the sport. But I'm going to focus on one particular reason during this segment. And that reason is because the sport had 2 goddamn years to figure this out. 2 years. And yes, I said what I said. I came on rather strongly because I really want to drive home a point. You had 2 bleeping years to figure out the issues that was plaguing your sport, but no, you wanted to collectively drag your asses across the sand like a dog who has wet diarrhea on his rear end, and now you're at the 11th hour, you're still negotiating down in Florida, and then, oh, by the way, we're all awaiting as to what's going to happen. What's going to be the news that's going to be broken by Buster Olney or Jeff Passan or Bob Nightingale or any other baseball insider or John Heyman who seemingly doesn't know what the hell he's talking about by each and every passing hour that he goes on Twitter and tweets out his thoughts. So that's where we're at in terms of baseball right now. We're at a point now in which the owners and the players, they are still so far apart. Every single time that I see a tweet about, the players conceded this, and the players, we just added a couple of extra $1 million in terms of the CBT. I'm like, really? What a crock of crap. What an absolute crock of crap. You've had the time. You've had the time and energy to figure this out. And here we are. Some want to blame the players. I'm not so sure how you can still blame the players at this point. Are they completely innocent in all this? No. But if you're going to blame the players, they deserve maybe 10% of the blame. 10, 15% at most. The other 85, 90% directly on the owners. Directly on the owners. So, as we do this show, I'm going to basically be giving you up-to-date information in terms of what happens regarding the MLB lockout. Because basically, between now and the end of the show at 7 o'clock, I am fully expecting to hear some sort of news whether a deal will be reached or not. I'm basically at a point where I am expecting a deal not to be reached. But we've seen crazier things happen on the baseball diamond before. Well, we kind of need a walk-off grand slam here in the 11th inning in a negotiating table, in a negotiating room, in order to, for the season to start on time. That's kind of like where we're at right now. So, if you're a baseball fan, how are you feeling today? How are you feeling at this moment in time at 5:10 p.m. Eastern, 2:10 p.m. Pacific time? How are you feeling? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling worried? What is your feeling, honestly? Because I can only speak for myself. But I can tell you exactly what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling about this whole thing. It's nonsense. It's sad. It's tragic. It's absolutely insulting to think that 2 years ago, when we were raging in the midst of a global pandemic, when everybody's hunkered at home, that the players and the owners couldn't figure this all out then. They had all of last year to figure it out. They had early in the offseason, but they wanted to collectively drag their butts. And here we are. But to really get specifically, why am I angry with baseball? This is why. Baseball doesn't care about the fans. They don't. Not the same way that the NFL does. Not the same way that the NHL does. Not the same way that for sure the NBA does. Baseball has become a sport about greed, about money, about corporate dollars. What can we do to earn more money and to basically separate the diehards from the corporate fans? Or should I say the corporate sponsors? Because that's kind of like where we are right now. You got the owners who are fighting tooth and nail for every single dime and dollar that they can get and keep the status quo of having the upper hand over the players. And meanwhile, the players, they're fighting tooth and nail, not just for themselves, but for the players that's going to be coming up after those guys are long gone retired out of the game. This is where we are at as a sport. And if you are a baseball fan, I don't see how this is a good day for baseball. Even if they were to get a deal done, this is not a good day for baseball. Because if anything else, this only has left even more sour taste in my mouth. Why did you let it get to this point? And I think that's a very fair and legitimate question to ask. Even let's say, for example, best case scenario, let's say 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock tonight, they announce we have a new CBA deal in place. This is not a good day. This is not a reason to celebrate. Celebrate for what? That a sport that absolutely could care less about the fans, cares more about the bottom line, I should say. And to make matters worse, they don't even want to pay its players. The average annual salary for every player in Major League Baseball has shrunk 4 consecutive years. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure that there's something wrong here. Why is the average annual salary for a player in Major League Baseball decreasing over the last 4 years? Why? How is that? If you're still looking at it from a standpoint of, well, the guys that are making 100 plus million, 300 million, 400 million, etc., and you're looking at it as, well, there's millionaires, there's billionaires, you're missing the point. You're still stuck at a certain level of thinking that you desperately need to come out of. Because this isn't about billionaires versus millionaires. This is about trying to save a sport that is frankly dying in this country. Baseball is a dying sport. It has become for the older age demographic, and less about the younger fan. It's become more about grandma and grandpa and uncles and aunties that are older than it has become about the 15-year-old, 20-year-old diehard baseball fan who wants to be able to truly enjoy the product on the field. But let's be honest. Has the product on the field really been that enjoyable over the last few years? No. Not even close. How do I know? Go talk to the casual fan and ask him about the average time that it takes to play a 9-inning game. You tell me. You go ask the average baseball fan right now about how long it takes to play a 9-inning baseball game. And you tell me the responses, you get back to me. You know, because I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to tell you the answer up front. They're going to tell you that the baseball has become too damn long. Baseball has become too long. It is not too entertaining. And guess what? You have to freaking shift on the field. You're taking away hits. You're taking away runs from being scored. So guess what? You're basically serving up watered-down margaritas at a local bar in hopes to be sold that, hey, this bartender still got it. No, you don't have it. Stop serving me watered-down tequila disguised as freaking, what do you call it? Oh, Everclear. That's exactly what it is. Baseball has become more watered down than heartproof alcohol. That's what it is. And it's a shame. So the product on the field is suffering. It is diminishing. The games are becoming too long. And the future of the sport literally hinges on this. It really does. And the more that I think about it, the more I am even more convinced of what I said last week. When I called into the Felgram Mass program, I said last week at the time that this lockout, rather, I really strongly believe that it can and it will be even more damaging than 1994. And in some ways, it already has been more damaging than 1994. Because in 1994, the players went on strike. The last lockout was back in 1990. The season didn't even start until mid-April. They still played 162. The postseason was delayed or pushed back by a week. But baseball is in a world of trouble. And now it's never been more abundantly clear. The phone lines are open. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Coming up next, there is something absolutely damning about what Jeff Passan wrote in his column today for ESPN.com that further validates my point about this sport being an absolute world of trouble. I'm going to tell you exactly what he said in that column that should cause for you to be concerned. Coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
Bye. around. Heaven, yeah, can always turn around. Too much of heaven, a life is so hellbound. Heaven, the killer makes no sound.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Your number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the program as I'm here with you live until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. And I just want to make this announcement quickly that the Shukri Wright Show will be on at a special time this week on two separate days. Wednesday morning, I will be on the air from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. First 6 a.m. show here at the station in 2 years. Hadn't done a 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. program live at the station, or period for the fact of the matter, since March, I believe it was March or February of 2020. Yeah, but yeah, it was right before the pandemic. So, again, the Shukri Wright Show will be on the air live Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., 91.5 WMFO, and streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app. It'll be on again Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., exclusively right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So a lot of the program will be on this week, Wednesday morning, Rise and Shine with the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, and as well as Thursday evening, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. So Rise and Shine Wednesday morning with me from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and then go to bed listening to the Shukri Wright Show from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Phone line that is open at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. Now, in terms of baseball, there is something that really stand out to me in terms of when you look at what is falling apart about baseball currently as we know it. One thing that I do know is that when you have an insider who basically points it out and calls it out and sees exactly what's going on and what is wrong with the sport, I can't help but to think and wonder, man, do we not really understand just how damaged baseball is right now? Because there is something very wrong and something very, and I do mean very coherently wrong with the way that baseball is currently constructed. There was an excerpt from Jeff Passan's column on ESPN.com that I read earlier today that really was telling. And if you weren't upset or aggravated based on what has been happening in terms of the Major League Baseball lockout and as well as why the players are so angry and upset and why there is such a distance between the owners and the players, now you're about to see a glimpse into why things are the way that things are currently. This is an excerpt that I'm about to read to you in full nauseam from the Jeff Passan column. Again, that's on ESPN.com. It was published earlier today. Player pay has decreased for 4 consecutive years, even as industry revenues grew and franchise value soared, and the would-be stewards of the game pleaded to anyone who would listen that owning a baseball team isn't a particularly profitable venture. Players' service time has been manipulated to keep them from free agency and salary arbitration. The luxury tax instituted to discourage runaway spending has morphed into a de facto salary cap, and too many teams are nowhere near it anyway. Instead, gutting their rosters and slashing their payrolls because the game's rules incentivize losing. The commissioner has called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. Did that infamously after the 2020 World Series. And the league has awarded the team that did not that did the best job curtailing arbitration salaries are replica championship belts. Any of these is a problem. In aggregate, they serve as a call to actions for the player who even now struggle to pull off the delicate balance of being aggrieved while trying to negotiate a larger piece of the $10 billion plus pie. The MLBPA grew into one of the strongest unions in the United States during the 1960s, the late 1960s and 1970s, by marrying morality and money, by fighting for itself and for the betterment of the game simultaneously. Now, following a quarter century of labor peace and the relative complacency that accompanied it, the players are energized and engaged beyond what even they expected. This is, again, part of a larger column that was written by Jeff Passan on ESPN.com earlier today. But holy smokes. If that doesn't get you even more riled up and upset and fed up as a baseball fan, then I don't know what will. Because when I read that the first time, I'm like, I'm sorry, wait, come again? Player pay has decreased for four consecutive years, even as industry revenues grew and franchise values soared. So that statement alone told me while baseball was breaking in dollars, the owners wanted to continue to pay them pennies on a dollar. Like, what the hell is this? Some sort of 1920s sweatshop we're dealing with here? Because this is exactly what it sounds like. We're raking the big dollars, but no, we'll feed you crumbs. We're going to feed you crumbs to the pie and hope that you'll be satisfied and do everything that we can in our power to completely hush you up. We're just going to give you just what you're asking for. We're going to give you just a little bit so that you're satisfied. While we continue to rake in the big bills to make the most profit, even as money continues to essentially rise over time, especially over the last 4 years. Like, it's just crazy. Player service time has been manipulated to keep them from free agency and salary arbitration. It's been manipulated how? By calling out players and then sending them back down and then calling them back up. You've seen this time and time again with top prospects. You see this all the time. So when it came time to go to arbitration, it's like, no. You only have this amount of time of service time in Major League Baseball. You haven't earned the right to go to arbitration just yet. And I just find that to be so utterly gross. And what's so gross about it is that now, if you really just shave all of the extra fat off the steak and you just get to the meat of the bone, what this is ultimately is owners who are billionaires only willing to pay them maybe dimes, nickels at most. Well, they're making money too. They're making a lot of money. Meanwhile, the players are waking up to the fact that, no, we want a larger share of the pie. No, we're hungry. It is not about us. It's about the future generation coming up. Look at the young guys, the young stars of the game who haven't even gotten paid yet. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes to mind. Like, players like him. And I'm sure Shohei Ohtani is going to be due for a new massive contract in very short order. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are now in the age of, we are going to see the first $500 million contract in very short order. The new television deals that's about to kick in this year, if there are games being played, they know what's going on. More money is about to be poured into the sport via these new contracts. That's a big part of the equation here, because Turner is about to start their new deal where they have the exclusive game of the week, including the postseason. Fox, they still have Fox at a baseball, and then obviously the postseason as well, FS1, you know, the division series, and then as well as the LCS, and the World Series obviously as well. So they know what's going on, the players that is. And I don't blame them one bit where they're like, you know what, no, 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 no. We know what's up. We know what's happening here. And we want more than what we've been given. And the owners want to maintain status quo by saying, no, we're going to just give you the increase of this $2 million and hope that you'll take it. This is why exactly they are where they are currently right now at 5:35 p.m. Eastern time. And at this moment in time, there is no update to provide you regarding whether a new deal has been reached or any new update regarding the negotiations regarding the play, the players and the owners negotiating and so forth. Amazing. It's just incredible how we've gotten to this point. Like, how? I mean, I just want to go back and read this tweet that Ben Verlander tweeted out. And I retweeted it, actually, as a matter of fact. I'm going to find it right here. Here it is. So, this is what was said. Ben Verlander, who, by the way, is going to be the next guest on my podcast coming up later this week. More details on that on Wednesday. He tweeted out, just your daily reminder. This is not billionaires versus millionaires. Anyone that says that and adds that they need to, quote unquote, get over it, they are wrong. 71% of Major League Baseball players make less than $1 million. 66% make less than $600,000. 16% less than $100,000. That's all moot. Pay them what they're worth. Let me reread this again so that you understand. Ben Verlander said, this is not billionaires versus millionaires. Anyone that says that and adds that they need to, quote unquote, get over it, they're wrong. 71% of players make less than $1 million per season. 66% make less than $600,000 per season. 16% make less than $100,000 per season. That's all moot. Pay them what they're worth. Man, if you told me, that's just amazing. 71% of MLB players make less than $1 million. I get this. Most people who are making, what, $50,000, $60,000 a year are like, seriously? That's still a lot of money. You should be just grateful to even be making that kind of money. You're missing the point on just the absolute heart of the issue. The point that I was making earlier this segment is that owners are content and happy with just paying them crumbs. Because that's exactly what it is. $1 million in comparison to $10 billion? That's crumbs of a pie. You might as well just shave off the crust of grandma's custard pie and serve it to the cat in the house and expect the cat to be healthy and happy. That's what you're talking about. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to even put these two and two together like, this is what baseball's come to? Man, the financials, they don't look good. They don't look good right now. I just want to refresh my Twitter feed real quick to see if there's any update on the Major Baseball negotiation and so forth. And, oh man, nothing so far. There hasn't been any sort of update. I'm going through Twitter at the moment. Nothing. A lot of it is last 4, 5, 6 plus hours ago. And, wow. So Jesse Rogers tweeted out just 2 hours ago, Commissioner Rob Manfred and lead negotiator Dan Halem just walked over to the player side. Wonder how that's going so far. Who knows? And then you have players like Joey Gallo posting up his LinkedIn resume and hopes to promote himself for a job in case if Major League Baseball isn't starting the season on time, because he knows if there are no games being played, the players are not getting paid. So they're like, hey, I'm open for any other role out there. What other job is there, huh? Good man. Goodness Lord. What a time. What a time. An hour ago, John Heyman tweeted out, MLB called yesterday productive, quote unquote, raising hopes for a deal. Today, deadline day. Negative so far. We're now down to less than 7 hours ago. Man, not good. Not good at all. We're going to step aside and take a break. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Boston Bruins as well as what's on the line tonight. They are playing the Los Angeles Kings at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be a fun game, but this is an interesting game and an interesting test. That and much more coming up next. We're going to be talking some Bruins. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be pausing the program for just a moment. I need to go and pray. So I'm going to be playing for you an interview that was done by Michael Antonellis, who is the play-by-play broadcaster for the Worcester Red Sox. He interviewed me about a year ago, and basically the interview was mostly about like my story and, you know, how did I, you know, end up here in Boston, and as well as my journey so far as a broadcaster. So in the interim, while I step away from the mic, this is going to be the full interview that is hosted by, again, Michael Antonellis. He interviewed me, this is a year ago, about my journey, as a broadcaster, and as well as how I ended up here in Boston. And this is the interview in full detail. I'll be back. Enjoy the interview.
Okay, Shukri, well, you had me on your podcast, and I enjoy following you and all your progress. So I thought, hey, a better guest on my podcast could not be anyone else but you. So thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. When I did the podcast with you sometime last spring, and I'm even struggling to remember when exactly it was. Why is it bothering me? I don't know. But I just thought to myself, you said, you know, what better way to use this opportunity? I mean, we're all locked down at that time to, you know, reach out, you know, do a podcast, you know, interview different guests across the sports media industry. And it's always very humbling when someone asks me to come on their podcast, as that's happened on numerous occasions and so forth. And thank you for having me on. I can't wait. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I've seen, I think, a birth of something really nice that's been happening during the pandemic, because now with the technology, I've been saying, why haven't I used Zoom before this, first of all?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, I don't know why I didn't think of doing interviews, especially for my baseball background and for doing talk shows like yourself. But so many of us are doing this now. But what I have found is so many of us are now connecting. I've made so many friends during this pandemic, friends in the business. And it's nice that we're all doing each other's podcasts, because we all need that support.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the great lessons from this pandemic, and this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but talk about taking a positive from a horrific negative. One of the few positives, that I take from this is that this pandemic has shown me and taught me the importance of getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I feel like between pre-pandemic and now, over the course of what's been now a year now, I have grown so much as a person, as a broadcaster, as a radio host, and so forth, that it's enabled me to have the confidence to be able to, you know, stand on my own 2 feet and be comfortable in my own skin. I think that in itself is what's really important. In you being a play-by-play broadcaster, you understand the importance of being comfortable in your own skin. And me as a national radio host and broadcaster, it's important in recognizing who you are, knowing what you are, and sticking to your true colors.
Yeah, perfectly said. I mean, the true test of someone is adversity. I say this a lot. You know, how are we going to handle it? A lot of us could have gone, and it's hard, it's easy to go south and be negative. But I think that this, like you said, and I'm glad to see you grow. So the Shukri Writes podcast is, you use Anchor like I do, which I love, and I promote it, and I run that same spot you do at the beginning.
Absolutely.
And it goes to all the platforms. You're on a 91.5 FM, 100.1 in Boston. Know Your Rights. You talk about a home run title for your show, huh? I like that. It's like behind the mic, Know Your Rights. I like that.
I sincerely appreciate that. Thank you. You know what's funny? When I was thinking about the title for my second radio show, before I even get to that, there's a little bit of a story that goes behind that, because the show started back in September, and it's crazy to think that it's only been 5 months, but it feels like it has been a lot longer. And I was at a point where I said, you know, I really miss doing live radio shows. I don't know what's available right now. And I'm still working on, you know, building my platform, building my career as I advance and move along. And I say, what college radio station is doing or allowing community members to join and so forth? So I said, you know, let me look into 100.1 FM WBRS. And I looked into it and I reached out. And thankfully, the executive board of that station was more than gracious enough for me to have my own radio show. And they said, no, this is live. You're going to be doing this via the Zoom broadcast that the station allows and so forth. And I couldn't have been more thrilled. And I was like, you know what? This is phenomenal, because live allows me to, you know, not have the safety net of you can pause and then go back and edit and then continue, but rather being super aware of what you're saying and how you're delivering it in that particular moment. So when I was thinking about a title for the show, I was saying, you know, I wanted to be something that is both unique and authentic.
Yeah.
And I said, my last name is Wrights. And we were still just coming off of the big social movement in a country in which that you talk about Black Lives Matter and so forth.
Yeah.
I said, you know, why not Know Your Rights, but Know Your WRIGHTS? And that's how the title came about.
It's terrific. Really is. I love it. I think it.
Thank you.
Because your last name, it can have a few different meanings. Like you said, you know, that's really, really cool. So I agree with you about being live. I feel like this is live, even though it's not, but I don't know what it is when you do something live. There's a, I just, it's hard to record. It's like practicing for sports. I probably was, you know, not great a practice player, but I live is awesome. It, because it's, there's adrenaline with it.
Oh yeah. And like there's adrenaline that goes with it. And then there's also that factor of whatever you say, you can, but you can't run back to erase it. You know what I'm saying? So like with play-by-play broadcasting, you could better speak on it than I could. With play-by-play broadcasting, when you're doing it live, you're basically narrating what's happening as it's happening in real-time action.
Yeah.
And when you're doing a sports talk radio show or any radio show, with, regardless of what format it is live, it's okay. This is what's happening. This is what I'm going to do. But in sports, because this is what we both are experts in. In sports, it's like, okay, you are talking about a particular subject matter. And when it's live, you have the ability to drive the ship, if you will.
Yeah.
And like one of the positives about doing live radio or even live recording or broadcasts and so forth is that it gives you the ability to, at least for me, it allows me to really just hyper focus in on what's being talked about, what's being asked of me, and so forth, whether it be a caller or a guest that I'm interviewing, or in this case, you are the host. I am the guest, and it allows me to just really focus on what is being said, how am I delivering it, and as well as for those that are going to be watching and listening to this podcast later on.
Yeah, the sports talk landscape, though, it's changed a bit, where it's becoming the hot take machine, hasn't it? I know you have a good style the way you do it, and you do it right, but I worry about younger people getting in thinking that they need to do that, because there are big hosts in our business that are doing well, but I don't know if that formula is easily duplicated. You can be, you know, Mike Reese does it right, and he's got almost 400,000 followers on Twitter. You know, you don't have to be Mr. Negative and controversial to get listeners, you know, but I get it. I get why people do it. I don't love
like
it.
one of the things about sports radio, and I've learned this in my own journey, is that, listen, it's easy to be Mr. Negative.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. In our region, because we're both in greater Boston, here in New England, we know of 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're just using it as an example. We know of, you know, certain hosts whose shtick is to piss you off and to call in and so forth. Most notably, last week, and I did a segment on this on my radio show, in which that Tony Maserati called David Pastrnak, the right winger for the Boston Bruins, overrated, and I damn near choked on my food when I heard this.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you talk about riling up the Bruins fan base, but also, like, are you serious?
I saw your
Pastrnak
tweet.
Pastrnak is one of the best young wingers in the league. Are you, like, come on. Like, at risk of cursing, which I'm not going to do, I said, you know what? Now, this is precisely why I chose for me that my style wasn't going to be negative. Am I going to be passionate? You bet your rear end that I am.
Yeah.
Am I going to speak what's on my mind? Absolutely. But am I also going to be authentic and real? Yes. Because to your point, the younger generation that's going to be coming in, like, but behind us, they feel that, well, we have to try to be the Colin Cowherds of the world, or we have to try to be the Mike Felgers of the world, and or the Christopher Mad Dog Russos of the world. No, one of the best advice that I've ever gotten in my career so far is be yourself.
Yes.
And I had an opportunity to interview and speak with Bob McElligott. He's the radio play-by-play voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And he gave me this advice. That he's like, you know, dude, be yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to be anyone else. Like, your voice is authentic already as is. Who you are and your authenticity speaks volumes as to who you are, how you represent yourself. If you're trying to emulate what some Joe Schick may be trying to do on radio, you're going to fall flat on your face. Just because it may work for everyone else doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for you.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, one of the beautiful things about radio is finding your niche, finding out what works for you, finding out who and what you are, how do you present yourself, and sticking with it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about trying to fit in. And I think it comes back down to this important factor here. And that is, when you are comfortable in your own skin, you're not worried about the critics, because you're going to have critics, period. That's a fact in this business. You're going to have critics. But when you know how to be comfortable in your own skin and what's your style and what's your approach, none of that matters.
No.
And you end up walking away being more successful than you realize.
I agree with you. And you know, you probably don't know, Bob and I are best friends.
Wow, really?
Bob gave me my first job in baseball in 1997.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
And I just talked to him 2 days ago. Yeah.
That's yeah. Awesome. How is he doing?
He's great. I saw that you had him, that you talked to him, and I was going to bring that up. Yeah, we've been close since then. Yeah, he gave me my first shot. Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's a terrific person to get advice from.
Yeah.
He's my mentor. So, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Like I can't help but to smile, because in speaking with him and now that I'm talking about it, I'm probably going to go back and listen to that interview just because, like, I got a real sense of authenticity. I'm well aware of his story, you know, working his way up from like calling minor league hockey games to now doing like NHL games for the Columbus Blue Jackets and so forth. And the thing that stood out to me when speaking to him was just how real he was.
Oh yeah, he's
like, he wasn't one of those guys that, I'm a play-by-play broadcaster of an NHL team. I'm just going to, you know, have this aura of an ego and pump my nose high into the air. It wasn't any of that.
No.
It really was just like, hey, we're having a conversation. Like we're talking hockey. We both love hockey. And, you know, I'll ask him questions about the team. I was asking him about, in that interview, I was asking him about Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's been since traded to Winnipeg in a Patrick Laine deal. So it's that authenticity that I really strive for and wish that, and I want to make mention of this important key here. You don't know who's listening or watching. You don't know who you're impacting. And some kid is watching you or watching I saying that, you know, I want to do what he does one day. And you know what? I noticed that he does something different, but in a good way, apart from what everyone else is doing. And I admire that, because in today's world with social media, with Twitter, with YouTube, you know, Facebook, all that fun stuff, it's so easy to say and fall into the trap of, damn, I gotta be like him. I want to be like him. It's like, no, you don't have to.
No.
Learn to create your own style and be comfortable within your own skin and excelling in that.
Yeah. It's called on-air talent. If we all tried to strive to be one, there would be too many duplicates. That's how you have to think of it too. If you're going to try to be that next guy, you know, and you brought some of those guys up. I mean, Chris Mad Dog Russo, you know, he has that accent, you know, he doesn't sound like a traditional broadcaster, but he's got something that makes him stand out, you know, to your point. And I agree with you. National, how'd you get that? The Pacifica Radio Network. That's a cool thing that you're on.
Thank you. First and foremost, I'm grateful to the Almighty for that. Number one, one day I was just doing some thinking. I said, you know, I want to get more experience and I want to really expand and really put my on-air work on a national platform, but I wasn't sure how. One of my good friends by the name of Jake Asman, you may have heard of him. He does absolutely phenomenal work for Sports Radio Network in Houston. Had him on the podcast late last year, sometime back in the spring, summer. I remember reading somewhere about power of syndication. And I